The Big Red Couch, a podcast about making role-playing games. A group of GMs and players draw ideas from the mystery box and bring their game pitches to you.
This week's card...
Alcatraz!
Hello everybody, welcome to the Big Red Couch episode We Are Not Really Sure. This is our second attempt at recording episode We Are Not Really Sure, because yours truly managed to fail monumentally in the save the damn file stakes. However, we're giving this another crack, having taken a bit of a break from recording to do other things, like play several hours of a completely different role-playing game. But here we are. What was drawn last week was the game idea of Alcatraz, and let's see what people came up with. On the mics, we have myself, Craig, we have...
Tanya.
Kevin.
And Ben.
All right, who wants to go first?
Jeroping and...
Shall I go first?
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, so, Alcatraz. I started off with what is, to all intents and purposes, a bloody awful zombie story. But what I ended up with was... based on Alcatraz's history, that Alcatraz has been a prison since 1859. It was a military prison. It's held military prisoners, it's held captured American Indians, captured Confederate soldiers, conscientious objectors, and then eventually when it became a federal prison, the Alcatraz Federal Penitentiary, it held maximum security prisoners. And eventually it stopped being a prison and they closed it down. And on Thursday, the 21st of March, 1963... the last 27 prisoners left Alcatraz, and the guards left, and the prison closed for good. And so my game idea takes place on the evening and the night of Wednesday, the 20th of March, 1963. It's the very last night of Alcatraz. And it's been a prison for a long time. There are a lot of ghosts on Alcatraz Island, prisoners from 104 years of it being a jail or a lockup. And so, in the morning, Alcatraz is going to close, and the ghosts don't want to be left behind. And I came up with basically two options. There's the classic horror story of you have these malevolent ghosts. They don't want to be left alone on this island to just themselves, so they want to tick it off. And their way off is essentially riding out in the shells of the prisoners. So option one for a horror game, possibly along the lines of the Supernatural TV show or RPG, is the players are a group of prisoners, or possibly prisoners and guards, who are spending the night trying to defeat, or at least stay away from, ghost-possessed other prisoners and guards, or possibly just the ghosts themselves. I kind of like the idea of these vaguely foggy, because it's San Francisco Bay, you can't not have fog, ghost figures walking down the cell block trying to get in past the cold iron of the cell doors. Option B was the idea that you've got ghosts who just don't want to be there anymore, and they're trying to get somebody to break the fetters that are holding them to this place. I think fetter is maybe a term that the Wraith game from White Wolf used. I'm not 100% on that.
That's where they were from.
Oh.
I don't know how they work, but I think they're... yeah.
I think it works very much in the same way as the mythology, that there will be some scrap of either their physical form left or an item that meant a lot to them that was on their person a lot.
Right.
So take Supernatural, the TV show, as fact and proceed.
And run from there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you might have... well, in either scenario, you're potentially going to have people looking for whatever that item is that's holding them there. It's just a question of, do they grab it in order to take it with them? Mm. Or do they grab it in order to destroy it? You know, there are various ghost sightings on Alcatraz. If I figure out how to do show notes, I'll link to a page I found. But the one I found that was the most fun was the idea that Al Capone's ghost haunts Alcatraz and plays the banjo in the shower block.
Even though he didn't die there.
Even though he did not die there.
So presumably he left the banjo behind?
Haunted banjo!
Oh, could be a banjo.
Haunted mob banjo.
Does one use a pick to play a banjo? Or?
I think it depends how good you are. I have no idea.
Yeah, good.
I know of people who would use a plectrum, but mostly you have these picks that kind of wrap around the ends of your fingers and kind of stick out sideways.
Oh, kind of like an end of finger thimble with a prong, as it were.
Yeah, except rather than sticking out like a claw, it sticks out to the side of your finger.
Okay, so, yeah. Al Capone's discarded, haunted...
finger picks.
Finger pick still sits at the bottom of a drain somewhere in the shower room. Because apparently, in actual fact, Mr. Capone was worried about being jumped to the recreation yard.
For obvious reasons.
Apparently he was quite good at making enemies, and got permission to practice the banjo in the shower block during recreation time. And apparently a I didn't note down the dates, unfortunately, but somebody who had no knowledge of this fact did report hearing banjo music from the shower block. See, once I read that, I couldn't not use that.
That, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Haunted Mob Banjo sounds like a great name for either a noir story or a bar, so...
Yep. And so depending on the way you take the story, you've either got people who are desperately trying to find Al Capone's discarded banjo pick in order to destroy it or pack it in salt or melt it down or something so that the malevolent spirit of Al Capone does not leave the island. Or alternatively, you've got people who are trying to find that banjo pick in order to allow the frankly tortured spirit of Al Capone
to finally go home.
Yeah.
Finally dissipate in some way.
Well, you could hybridize the two ideas if you made it a cat game. For those who haven't run into it, Cat is an awesome game from John Wick where you play cats and you generally help out and deal with stuff that humans aren't capable of dealing with because they're not cool enough. And so in this case, you could be the last cats on the island who have done that wonderful cat thing of having been completely harmless and relatively predictable in terms of sleeping and stuff for months. And now as soon as everybody's trying to leave the island, you somehow escape and start rampaging around the place, being chased by your handlers, while what you're actually doing is trying to get rid of the malevolent ghosts while helping the...
benevolent, or at least harmless?
Yeah. Mm. The victim ghosts.
Stamping out the last of the bobbins and helping the benevolent spirits move on.
Yeah. Cleaning up and making right.
So you could do both.
That would be kind of cool. And I kind of wish I thought of it. And by kind of, I mean, I wish I thought of it.
And you've got, there's all kinds of things you could do with that.
It would be quite investigation-oriented. You'd be looking at, well, at some level or another. You could be the cats investigating looks and crannies looking for things, or the prisoners or guards trying to figure out where Al Capone stashed his last pick. Things like that. So it'd have a lot of range for exploration and being tense, sort of thing.
Mm. Actually, you could take another turn on it as well. It occurs to me that you could make quite a reasonable game from being some of the last prisoners who are about to be transferred out and being approached by spirits who wish to leave.
Mm.
And, you want to help them out, but you have to be able to get them past all of the iron. You have to be able to find their items or...
Mm, and hold on to them.
And hold on to them over moving water, because you can't call San Francisco Bay still.
Mm.
No. No, you can't.
That would be kind of cool, because you can base it on the relationships that say that some of these prisoners have survived on the basis that they've had benevolent spirits.
Yeah.
Benevolent to them, at the very least. Ooh. Aiding them.
Absolutely. So you can make a whole other adventure about being a lifeboat for these critters. What they become when you hit the other side, that's a whole nother game.
Like it. That's cool.
So, yeah.
That is cool. Okay, I'm glad people like that. I was briefly trying to look up a thing, so I'll do it from memory and hope I'm right. But apparently the comment made by the last prisoner out of Alcatraz, a chap I believe by the name of Frank Weatherman, was something along the lines of, Alcatraz never was no good for nobody.
I ain't got nobody. Anyway, shall I go next? Because I think my idea is vaguely related.
Go for it.
In that I took the historical thing as well, after much umming and ahhing, the idea of time travel, of there being a completely empty Alcatraz Island just loose in the mists, as far as you know, and the characters would be picked from different eras and kind of thrown in together to survive. Fairly basic survival horror thing, because stealing broadly from Stephen King's The Mist. Monsters!
Lamp monsters?
Possibly not lamp monsters. I'm not that cruel.
I don't think they had lamps. It would be things that were bolted to the wall. They were very big on things being bolted down.
Yeah. Anyway, you could have a Native American who is just there to fish from God knows when. You could have a Native American activist from much later, one of the occupation movements. You could have prisoners from all eras. So you could have people from the Civil War. You could have people from Al Capone's era. Japanese tourists. all in together with their very disparate understandings of the world, attempting to survive the things that are leering out of the mist and potentially attempting to get off the island, although it wouldn't be initially clear whether there was anything but the island.
Cool.
Because of the heavy fog.
I think that's not just a con game horror scenario. That is an awesome con game horror scenario, because you could have it as, you know, the blurb is, can you survive Alcatraz or something? And people are going to go, that sounds interesting enough. And then you turn up and you're going to have people who are out there tweeting afterwards and going, I signed up for a game about Alcatraz. I wound up playing an Indian fisherman who got eaten by some kind of crab monster in the mist. That was unexpected, but awesome.
It does have... It has the nice sort of horror setup of you are in a scenario and you have to deal with it because you cannot get out.
Mm.
Or if you can get out, that is the scenario. And yeah, as Kev said, con game. It screams con game.
Yeah, it's either live the night or find the magic button. I haven't decided which yet.
Possibly both. Possibly with something like that, if you're doing it as a con game, you want to prepare maybe... Be prepared for both paths. Be prepared for the... We hole up at the top of the lighthouse, and we...
Which is totally working again.
Which is totally working again, because why not? Mm-hmm. Well, I believe they electrified it. They automated it, I think. And I could look it up at the convenient Alcatraz guide, which I have sitting beside me, and...
I'm not kidding,
it is sitting beside me.
That was where the land was originally sold, I think, so someone could build a lighthouse there.
1854, the lighthouse keeper lit the oil lamp for the first time. First light in operation on the Pacific coast was automated in 63. So okay. Just before the prison closed. Yeah, operated by the US Coast Guard, continues to shine.
Okay, maybe that's the magic button. Maybe the the lighthouse is out.
Wow.
It's the light to keep the darkness out. It's very...
pushing back the dark, like it.
It's very Watcher of Yagthu. Sorry, I can't pronounce it. There's a webcomic that I quite enjoy by that name.
If I figure out how to do show notes, we can totally link it or something.
Woo!
Yes, in time that will be known as the Big Red Couch Effect, where our legion of fan... marauds onto the internets and crashes any site that we link.
Provide it's running on a modem.
I can dream. that would be awesome. I would play the crap out of that game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's my bit. Who's next?
Kev, do you want to go?
Yeah.
Let's work our way around the group in order.
My one's quick. Basically, I have exactly the same idea now that I did when we very first drew Alcatraz as a concept from a hat, because I've been marking exams all week, and so the only thought that I've put into Alcatraz is what a wonderful place it would leave to abandon some of my nominal co-workers. I say nominal because they don't actually do any fucking work. So...
Just a moment, Kev.
Yep.
Tell us how you really feel about your co-workers.
I'm just going to move on. Mumble. But basic just being that my brain skipped through Alcatraz, went prison, left that entirely, and hit upon the Victorian prison hulks. I know it's an idea that's been used outside of that, but I've been spending a lot of time in the headspace recently of an RPG called The Kerberos Club, which, for those who haven't run into it yet, it is awesome and all about superpowers, well, effectively superpowers in Victorian Britain. See show notes, because I cannot pimp that game enough. So
it's true, you know, he can't.
Anyway. And so basically there being some kind of thing where, you know, you are members of this semi-secret society called the Kerberos Club, and basically the thing starting with one of our prison hulks is missing. And many of the prison hulks are bolted down, but the one and kind of, what was it, built into docks?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, there were others where, as I understand it, they were just, you know, stripped out, no rudder, reel, even keel, but they were just kept at anchor, and in many cases where there was a coastal fort, hey, coastal fort, so if the boat moves, we sink you, screw you guys. And they were just basically abandoned out there.
But with food deliveries.
With food delivery, certainly. You know, you obviously, the only humane thing to do is just to drop the food onto the boat and let the prisoners sort it out, is this being the Victorian era, and they're good like that. But yeah, so the idea that basically you have one of these things that's missing, and it hasn't been sailed away, because they can't do that, and it would have been visible, because it would have gone, you know, down the Thames estuary past London, where presumably it would have been spotted, but it's just gone. And so, you know, one option is the mystery of what's going on with this prison hulk. The other option is people on a prison hulk that suddenly no longer where it should be, or it being the Kerberos Club, some kind of high gonzo combination of the above, where you go to investigate a missing prison hulk, wind up going back in time, stealing a prison hulk, and then have to deal with the fact that your future selves are now looking for what you've done with it. It couldn't really go anywhere. But that was pretty much the whole depth of what I've managed to come up with so far.
Cool.
Were you thinking... Well, I guess it would depend on whether you go with one of our prison hulks is missing, which... Again, strikes me as kind of a con game, or at least a one or two shotter. Whereas we are on a prison hulk that has gone missing, you could easily get a campaign out of that one.
I think you could easily get a campaign out of that one. Even the one of our prison hulks is missing would, you know, kind of be a somewhere between 1 and 4, maybe 5, I'm really bad at gauging how long it's going to take people to play through, kind of sub-story within a campaign, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it could certainly be pitched as a con game as well. It would just depend on, how confident you were that it was possible to resolve in that length of time.
A sub-season arc if you're doing a full-length sort of American show, and an entire season arc if you're doing the 6-episode British version.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it would depend greatly on whether the people who were on the prison hulk that you were looking for were important. We need to find that person. Where have they gone? The whole ship's gone. Oh, when did we notice this? We didn't.
Yeah, that's true.
How long has it been gone?
That makes it a bit more sinister. That if one person is the person of interest and they vanished the entire ship, what's going on?
Oh.
And also, we don't know when they vanished the ship, because...
Ooh,
I don't know.
I hadn't thought of that. Okay.
Jimmy the Eel Thief may not be so much of a problem. The Butcher of the Isle of Dogs might be more of an issue.
Or there may be someone really smart that you need to talk to who you know is on the prison hulk under a nom de plume because it felt like the safest place to hide or something. I don't know.
I love those ideas. I was just thinking of even just the really basic idea of we have this tub of bad people who were put on one of the, not one of the nice prison hulks that's docked to the land, one of the bad prison hulks for the particularly, unfriendly criminals that was basically left there and, the strong have survived, except someone on there has somehow been clever enough to move it. So, it may not even be we need to talk to that person. It's just wherever it is, it's not going to wind up pretty.
Yeah, we need to know what happened. The Victorians were very big on knowing what happened, even if they didn't necessarily understand it.
Mm. Anyway.
That would be cool.
Yeah, you could go all sorts of places with it.
All right, me next, I guess. Ha ha, I have flavor text.
Awesome.
He wrote it ahead of time. It's true.
Weeks ahead of time, which is remarkable given the time frames involved.
Artificial satellite LK-45 TRZ-1 has fallen out of its managed orbit around the Sol-Earth Lagrange Point 4 and is slowly falling back into Earth's orbital plane and path. TRZ-1, as you all know, was a designated holding facility for post-human combatants after the Singularity conflicts the previous decade. The transhumanist relocation zone was designed to be a self-sustaining but not self-propagating colony. Just over a year ago, even the intermittent communications from the satellite ceased. 6 weeks ago, it began moving into a transfer orbit without any sign of reaction mass being ejected. It's accelerating slowly but incrementally and has just changed vector enough to project a course for a stable L2 Earth-Moon orbit. Just so you're aware, whatever is on board isn't the partially uplifted honey badgers and self-aware Craigslist Gleisnerbot Borgs from the old days. It's their bastard offspring and what have they built in the meantime. Predictions put the rate of technological change on the habitat as up to between 3 and 300 times the rate down here on Earth. Those are conservative predictions. Ladies and gentlemen, we leave in 8 hours.
Nice!
Like it!
I have one question. What's a Gleisnerbot?
That's a fabricated humanoid that you've put an intelligence into.
Right.
So it's an Eliza?
No.
Kind of thing?
A little bit. It's an entirely artificial... I should probably check the pure definition, but is effectively, you've constructed a machine to house an intelligence.
Right.
And you've injected it into it. They're semi-remote. So.
Okay.
Cool. Fixated on making toast.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
There
are so many different ways that could go that,
Probably the initial spin, the take I've gone with that particular flavor text, is cross between aliens and we have no idea what's going on.
So with the initial pitch, my assumption would be we're either going, and the players are either going in as doom troopers or as some kind of investigation crew. Where you head with it?
It would make sense that they were more investigators than a hit squad because
they have no way of understanding what they're seeing.
But whatever they're facing may not understand bullets anymore. So,
well, depending on that rate of advance, they are possibly looking at between 30 and 3,000 years of technological difference.
Yep. which is what's causing consternation and stern, flustered looks.
It would make people get all flustered and stern. Yeah, though we leave in 8 hours. My first thought was, Marines, we leave in 8 hours. We're going to go up there and probably
shoot
have a very bad time. Yeah, the idea of an infiltration crew. So you've got relatively unmodified people who are going to be trying to figure out how to get into the space prison and try to blend in with its probably unrecognizable technological ecosystem.
Yep. The likelihood that everything on the satellite is of the same mind,
literally or figuratively,
indeed, does seem unlikely. There's probably competing theories or competing objectives. So there is a possibility to either play it from the other side, that the players actually start out on the satellite and are either manoeuvring to get, jockeying to get a better position, or just to survive the experience, is also an option.
There's all kinds of things you can do with it. I mean, you could do the semi-action-y horror scenario of basically, I think System Shock came up as a previous analogy. And I think that would work really well. If you wanted to do it as a longer campaign, it could be a really big, basically, you know, if I'm imagining this in terms of Fate, and I frequently do, thinking of it in terms of a really big high-stakes social conflict of just trying to figure out how to communicate with this prison and the things on it, to note the fact that you guys may be coming to say hi. You and everything that you survive in is a complete outside context problem for us, so even if all you do is open the doors or even necessarily talk to us too hard over radio, there are things that are going to get out and just out-compete us.
It was the book, I can't remember the author, called The Bridge, which, oddly enough, I think it's actually set in San Francisco, now that I think of it.
It makes sense, The Bridge.
has as part of its plot, and there are spoilers here, so, hey, spoiler warning, has as part of its plot an alien virus, which gets out, runs completely rampant, and it turns out that the entire thing is an attempt to communicate. It's an attempt to communicate through biological message passing how to build a communications device to talk to them. Effectively, a bridge. There was the notion of just out-competing, that, you know, how it manifested in the human population was a plague. A plague, and some people just died, and some people recovered but had these really weird visions of strange devices, and gradually people figured out that they were all the same visions, but people were seeing different bits, etc.
Interesting.
I will see if I can figure out who on earth wrote that and put in spoiler tags.
I mean, Blindsight from Peter Watts would be a good thing to strip mine for the whole either infiltration squad option or the marine option.
Just for the vastly alien technology.
Vastly alien technology, vastly alien environment. Very good book, depressing as hell, but, you know.
I should read that some other time, then.
Probably.
Maybe over my Christmas holidays.
Yeah, that's going to be really festive.
Yeah.
We're not saying it's not a good book, because it is. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, it's a wonderful book. It does better at putting across Lovecraftian themed horror to a modern audience than Lovecraft does. You know, reading it and thinking, this is a really good book, and hey, what's that emotion? Oh, it's despair!
Yeah. Well, okay. I must say that my influences were not nearly as lofty as literature and stuff, because this is pretty much The Rock with as much Nicolas Cage as you can handle.
And that's a lot of Nicolas Cage.
The internet has proven that people have extremely high tolerances for Nicolas Cage.
That's true.
His hair is a bird.
Cross between a 2008 series called Harry 20 on the High Rock, which is pretty much Alcatraz in space. So, space Alcatraz.
Harry 20 was a prisoner or a guard?
He was a prisoner. The 20 referred to the length of his sentence.
Oh, nice.
You got first name, sentence. As your designation.
Nice.
And the dehumanizing went on from there. What a wacky, fun story it was.
Ah, 2080. Ah. That was great.
Damn it. Yeah. As soon as you mentioned that, thinking of characters, you know, with the helpful names like Kyle Infinity or something, I said, that's not a good sign. I don't want to bunk with him. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Jeffrey 6000. Oh, my.
You're thinking Dharma?
Well, I am now. I was actually thinking, was it the Cyber City anime movies where you had a space prison and prisoners whose sentences were vastly longer than their actual lifespan, and so were essentially sent in to solve very unusual situations in return for carving a few tens of decades off their sentence.
Yes, it was actually just Tokyo Tomorrow, but it looked kind of like Space Habitat. And yeah, the prisoners were very creative problem solvers with explosive collars on, so they did what they were told.
Mostly.
Yeah, mostly.
Actually, I'll stop there. Anybody have... Because that's kind of an awesome idea. And...
It really is.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
I had something that I had filed in my stupid ideas file, because it was, in fact, a stupid idea, was Escape from Mooncatraz, which, thinking about it, would probably be run with the teenagers from Outer Space System or Toon or something. And essentially, Lunar Prison Alcatraz, so rather than being on a rock in the middle of the bay, it's on the high point in the middle of a big crater.
Hmm.
And yeah, so you've got people building rudimentary spacesuits out of raincoats and, and
the skins of other prisoners, carefully inflated for testing purposes.
You have played Toon, haven't you? I'm pretty sure that's out of genre.
I completely missed the Toon element. I'm crocheting here. Attention divided. Please proceed.
Okay. See, I now have the really creepy image of a bunch of people escaping from a prison with a spacesuit made out of the skins of Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, inflated and squeaking hideously. Fitted into Daffy's mouth that they're peering through.
In my defense... In Toon, you could skin someone and make them into a spacesuit, and it wouldn't kill them, so that makes it okay.
That's very true, actually.
Mm, true.
They would simply have a fishbowl on their head and run after you in the nutty.
And by in the nutty, you mean skinlessly, and leaking from them in vacuum.
That's still pretty...
In genre appropriateness issues.
Okay, what cartoons do you think we normally watch?
In Toon, it would be in the nutty, because there are things that I've seen where, thinking Elmer Fudd type things, where Bugs, for whatever reason, takes his fur off in order to get changed.
And he's got his boxer shorts underneath.
He's just a pink rabbit-shaped thing.
It's vaguely plucked.
I'm sure that there are occasions where Wile E. Coyote gets skinned as well, so... Yep.
That's true. Simultaneously makes it more and less creepy. I do retract my comment about genre appropriateness, because you are right. Thinking about the cartoons we watch. Yeah.
Cartoons have changed a lot in the last 20 years.
Though you never see that sort of crap on Weekenders.
That's very true. Okay, maybe they just changed during that 10-year period when we weren't really paying attention.
Yeah.
Either that or our cartoons are fundamentally more awesome than those belonging to the rest of the world.
Mm.
Let's go with that. And Timothy and cartoons rock. Just by being shown here at the edge of the world.
There was another idea that we came up with, actually specifically to Needle Ben. we were kicking around the concept of a prison under Canterlot Castle. in the Diamond Caves, where the ponies who get slightly less than appropriate cutie marks get put.
Yes, this is my little pony, the Alcatraz game. Where, yes, you've got the ponies of Dripping Knife.
Bloody hoof print.
Sodium Pentothal.
Yes. Yes. Suspicious Grin. Because, from a certain point of view, the cutie mark is a brilliant way of spotting the potential psychopaths in the world.
Thank you for putting the idea of Celestia's pre-crime division into the
Well, I actually did have the idea for a story. It was just basically somebody in the equivalent of the FBI's profiling department, poring over various images of new cutie marks, trying to look for the sign.
Celestia's butt phrenologists, I believe you called them.
Yes. I think that does sound like me.
You are all very bad people, okay? I just want you to know that.
Yay!
We've made a contribution.
You absolutely have.
Indeed. Okay, so that was episode 2. Well, attempt 2 of episode we're not really sure.
We'll append numbers when we finally actually record intros, outros, and bumps.
We just call it the Alcatraz episode and don't bother with...
Yeah, that works.
Don't bother with numbers at all. On the grounds that, then I've just actually wasted the previous 2 minutes of vocal time.
That's okay.
I apologise to our listener.
Let's just not put numbers on it so that in future our fan can pore over them and figure out the order based on subtle clues.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Sweet. It's like melancholy of... or a Susan Meyer thing. You just have to decode what order we recorded these in. That's fucking awesome.
That will be great.
I really don't want this to be the core of an Unknown Armies in real life thing.
Unknown Armies is so cool.
I mean, if I really it don't want to be the skin. Cause of the God Walker of the listener. No.
Equally, we don't want to turn this into the podcast equivalent of a numbers station, or indeed an ARG.
I reckon we could work Slenderman to this really easily. Stand.
Okay, so we actually already recorded the drawing of the next card.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need to tell them, though. We just need to play the recording.
We don't have it, remember?
No, the recording of the drawing of the next card. Didn't we record that successfully?
And then it got lost.
Oh!
Because I didn't have enough time to drop it, because we basically went with it. So we could try faking it up again, or we could simply say that the card that was drawn was...
Mexico is missing an island.
This was your one, Kevin?
Yeah, the basic gist of it is that, and this will undoubtedly appear in show notes when we can actually figure out how to make that happen, or, you know, Craig will, because I'm lazy.
And he's genius, yes.
It's that there is a Mexican island that historically was in the Gulf of Mexico, and then past a particular point, it just vanished. How do you pronounce it?
Bermeja.
Bermeja, yes. And it is considered important on the grounds of if it actually existed, then Mexico's territorial waters are way the hell bigger than they would currently be, containing, you know, things like useful fishing grounds.
Currently
and
considered to include Bermeja, except no one can find it. And if anyone else in the world chooses to kick up a fuss about that, then they lose access to fishing and oil and other islands.
Really? I thought they'd already lost them. I thought that this was very much the fiends have already done this thing, but anyway, there's scandal about this and internet discussion, which is always informative and true. You know, you have conspiracy theorists at the level of that the US Navy or the CIA blew up the island in order to pervert the natural course of Mexico's territory developing. And so basically the game in some way involves Bermeja and what happened to it.
Cool. All right. Anybody have anything else?
Nope.
All right. So let's see if this one actually recorded. And
good night.
See you all next week.
See you all.
Want to hear more of our shenanigans? Then go to HOARDE.net and click on the button that looks like a couch. The Big Red Couch is released under Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 Unported from CreativeCommons.org. All music on the show comes from the album Universal Fluff Theory by Krakatoa. Visit them at Krakatoa.com or follow the link from our page. See you next time!